Brian Munson will join in a couple minutes. He has a request. No questions about the Buffalo Bills, please. I will not be answering any questions about the Buffalo Bills. On a similar note, Ethan writes in.
Hi, Ethan.
Having your team bait you into staying up until 11 just to see them trade their pick twice and not even picking in the first round is the ultimate sicko move. It's just a tough break, Ethan. And Brian, and all of Bills Mafia. Hey, maybe, come on, let's get some help here for Josh Allen. No, thank you.
Maybe you get Cooper DeJean tonight.
Maybe. Speaking of Cooper DeJean, this is an email from the Equitable Bank inbox. It's from Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Would Cooper DeJean beat Caitlin Clark in one-on-one?
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, Cooper DeJean could probably get to the rim at
relative
will.
Ease.
Caitlin Clark, could she get off enough threes to you know, three is greater than two or two is better than one in a one-on-one situation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'd give a slight edge to Cooper DeJean in that category.
Okay.
I wouldn't summarily dismiss Caitlin Clark. I actually saw that was an argument that was going on Iowa Twitter over the last few days or so.
Hawkeye Twitter, scary place.
Yeah, that's a sicko move. So congratulations to Matt for getting in on some Iowa Twitter.
Jefferson Steelflex, what are you talking about? DeJean can't even call a fair catch.
Nice. Well, he can wave, but it just doesn't count sometimes. It just doesn't count. All right, from the draft last night, of course, Caleb Williams goes number one. The Bears, in the top nine picks, got Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze. That is good.
Very good.
Are the Bears back is a question that is out there right now. I think it's a little early, in my opinion. But they're in position to be in position. But, of course, the most confounding move of the first round was the Falcons taking Michael Penix at 8 after signing Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $100-plus million deal. What? 4 to 5 weeks ago.
That's correct.
Somewhere around there. It confused everybody. And it threw off the entire kind of anatomy of the first round and how it would go. It affected some other teams, and they were pushed into some difficult situations after that.
Broncos and Raiders were probably like, wait.
Those were the two teams at the top of my head.
What?
Now, one might say they weren't necessarily prepared for that, and they did not recover in a short enough period of time to be able to take the right player. We'll talk about those two teams in a second. What is your theory on why Michael Penix went in the draft at 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, who just signed a quarterback, a good quarterback,
yeah,
to a big money, kind of long-term-ish deal?
My admittedly uneducated guess would be
I haven't done enough reading on the actual theories of these, so these are fresh.
It's got to be that they believe he's that good. Like, and they're willing to wait in an Aaron Rodgers style if they have to. They believe in him that much.
If you are the Falcons, here's what you say to people. You say, well, we don't think we're going to have a very high pick over the next couple of years, because we're going to be good, so it's time to take the guy now. I don't know if that makes any sense, because, you know, if you get to the end of the 4 years of Kirk Cousins' contract, you have to make a decision on Michael Penix for a fifth-year option. You've never really seen him play, which, by the way, that's not how it's going to go here. But theoretically, if you play it out that way, it doesn't quite get all the way to the end of the line and make sense anymore. My theory is this. I saw some people viewing it kind of the other way last night. Obviously, I mean, first of all, Popcorn came early today. Apparently, Kirk Cousins didn't know about this. He was not informed. Probably not happy.
Mm-hmm.
$120 million in Kohl's cash. And he's just sitting there like, what the hell?
you gave me the Kohl's cash chain. You trotted me out at the Braves game Sunday night. Like, what?
Didn't he get his number, too, from Kyle Pitts?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, something like that. But he was you know, developing into being Mr. Falcon for the next couple of years. And a situation that's already good and could have been supplemented by a little bit more help at various spots to really grab a hold of that position, or to really grab a hold of that division, which is poopy. Not a good division, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a real window of opportunity there, and he decided that the Falcons decided, let's try something else here. It's risky, and there's, I think, a lot of possibilities to it. But my first thought was this. You take a quarterback, and you still have Kirk Cousins, and there, of course, is the injury thing. Like, he's not going to play every game for the next 4 years. So you have that in your back pocket. But while that's happening, obviously you're developing him. But at the same time, you get to get him in for a drive here and there, maybe a game here and there. Maybe we get an extended, month-long look at him at some point in Kirk Cousins' time with the Atlanta Falcons. Or maybe we don't. But either way, during the time in which he is sitting on the bench for the Atlanta Falcons, assuming that's what they're doing here, during the time in which Penix is sitting on the bench for the Atlanta Falcons, guess what happens? His stock goes up.
Yeah, he becomes the favorite.
His stock goes up.
And I could see the city of Atlanta rallying around Michael Penix versus Kirk Cousins.
Well, okay. Now, I'm not talking about that part yet. I'm talking about for other teams.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm talking about his stock goes up. How many times have we seen it over the years?
A trade chip.
That's right.
Okay.
Backup quarterbacks who we've seen a little of, and teams will be pretty willing to say, okay, he's already been in the league. He's developed. He's experienced in some way, shape, or form. We don't mind throwing a couple chips into this pile. And it wouldn't necessarily be taking a flyer on him because he'd be a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Josh, a trade chip. And I think, I mean, there is a really high dollar amount attached to quarterbacks who can play in the NFL right now. And the benefit for the Falcons is you don't have to give them a long enough look to where you know or not.
Uh-huh.
You can just say he is. So you're still trading him, theoretically, off of the fairy dust. What could this be? It's the possibility. Mm-hmm. It's the Matt Flynn thing.
Right.
Like, he throws one long pass, he gets a super mega deal, and it turns out that he actually sucked.
Because there's going to be a team next year that's 2-10 down the stretch or whatever, and they go, oh, our draft choices are Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sanders. No, thank you. Let's make a move.
Sure. It's just as good. And the Falcons would say this. It's just as valuable as the first-round pick would be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want back.
I guess they could be playing 4D chess here. Or
that was the first thought that came to my head. I don't know what the other theories out there are. Maybe, like, is there any kind of buzz that, I mean, he's old, right? He's been in college for 100 years, Penix says.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, maybe there's a situation where they go in and they vibe it out and see what happens. I can't see a world where he beats Kirk Cousins, like, straight up for a job.
Right.
But then Cousins becomes the trade chip, So,
sure.
Like, I think you do give yourselves options, first of all, and then a trade chip on the other side for a position that I don't want to say is overvalued, but is certainly valued the highest if you can get good play out of the position, and in return, you can get whatever it is that you're seeking, whether it is draft help or a player actually on another team.
You can get some teams to get some hearts in their eyes for one of the two, theoretically.
I think so.
That's what Danielle says. You don't draft a guy that was in the same recruiting class as Kirk Cousins to be an intern. Michael Penix is old.
He is. Not that old, but I mean, Kirk Cousins is old too, but
now,
yes.
Now, there's a lot of people saying that, like, okay, maybe Kirk isn't coming along.
I don't buy that.
Why give him the contract? Like, I understand. Right. You traded for him, you're going to give him a contract. Like, I get that part of it, but.
Yeah, that has not been out there at all. Like, that has not been a thought really at all so far. Now, I will admit that I'm not really into the Falcons message boards these days.
Oh, you should. It's a wild place.
I bet it is right now. That's for sure. So that kind of threw off the anatomy of the entire rest of the first round. Mm-hmm. The Vikings did the exact thing that everyone thought they would do. They traded up with the Jets and took J.J. McCarthy.
Going back to Penix, sorry. That's the other thing. If you, like, let's just say, like, on face value, they believe Penix is the guy. You could have said, hey, Minnesota, you want to swap, get some more draft capital, and they both end up with the exact same quarterback that they drafted.
I suppose.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, you want JJ? We're going to take him at 8 unless you trade with us.
Right. And then there was a thing that happened at the back end of the first round with the Chiefs and the Bills that was, you know, sort of in the same vein as that situation. So there was that piece of it. Like I said, the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy at 10. And, you know, I think because of this, the Broncos were met with a bit of a conundrum at 12. And maybe they panicked. And they were like, Bo Nix, you're a quarterback, right?
We were going to take Penix here. Or Nix. Those were our two options. There's only one left on the board. Bo Nix.
Hayden says this on the text line.
Hi, Hayden.
Denver 100% took the right player. Sean, which draft expert is Sean? I have no idea. Had him rated as the number 3 quarterback, and if he's your guy, you can't take a chance of missing him by trading back and letting the Raiders have him. Yeah, I don't disagree with the theory of, like, if he's your guy, then take him. But I don't know why he's your guy. I don't see it, you know? But maybe I'm just wrong about Bo Nix. That's
Sean Corner, the odds maker?
No idea.
You're deeper into it than we are, Hayden.
Yeah. Sean.
Tip of the cap to you.
Yeah, something like that. So, I don't know. I just think that's kind of just the cherry on top of a bad week for the Broncos.
Oh, that's right.
And, yeah, it's been not a great week for the Broncos. And then
Bo Nix also 100 years old.
And then we'll get to more of these later. But shout out to the Raiders for, like, just doing your thing, man. Yep. Just the Raiders are always going to be the Raiders. So what do? Things have been all thrown off in front of us. And the Raiders decide that they are going to take the biggest athletic freak that they could find, regardless of if they already drafted a tight end, Michael Mayer, in the second round last year, and he'd been relatively productive for them. Doesn't matter. It's time for Brock Bowers. Come on down. And I'm not saying Brock Bowers is bad. Maybe the theory is there. Hey, look, we had an opportunity to take a really good player that we didn't think mm-hmm. we'd have the opportunity to do. So let's draft him. I don't completely disagree with that theory.
He was the best available. Our guy wasn't available, yeah, so we took best available.
But it just fits into this nice little Raiders puzzle piece that we've always laughed at them for, and it's really never worked out. The fastest guy, the biggest guy, the most athletic guy, that's who the Raiders are going to pick in the first round. Plenty more of these as we go on throughout the show, but we do have to take a break. Get to Brian Munson of Husker Online. Once again, he's requested no Bills questions. I don't know if his request will be granted.
I can't imagine it will be.
Next on 1620 The Zone. But first, the road to the NBA Finals is well underway. New customers can head to FanDuel and go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Well, you probably can't get very good odds on Denver sweeping Los Angeles anymore. I told you about this before. Now you have to go individual, game by game. Nikola Jokic to get a triple-double, or LeBron James to just not play in the next game because he's quit, or something like that. Or Anthony Davis to get hurt at some point. You can find bets like that on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Head to FanDuel.com/Happer and get started. That is with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.